welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm your host, Lydia Johnson. This week, we're bringing you a special edition of the show from the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual convention. Thousands of members from the nation's largest farm organization gathered in sunny Anaheim, California, for educational sessions, competitions, agriculture tours, and the annual voting delegate session. The group's president and Georgia farmer, Zippy Duval, was reelected to continue leading the organization for another two-year term. To begin the show, I asked President Duval what message he's hearing from AFBF members at convention.
Well, we I think everybody had a really good time, and we were concerned with them coming in from their farms that after having experienced one of the most difficult economic times that we've been through in a generation. And we were concerned, but everybody's pretty much upbeat. We got that seed of optimism planted in our DNA, and we continue to look forward to the future and hope that policies that are going to be developed will be ones that lead us in a positive direction, help us come out of the difficult spot we're in.
Yeah, you mentioned that optimism, but also the farm economy kind of looming over a lot of the members. A lot of comparisons of, you know, the farm economy now versus the 80s. I mean, from your perspective and what you're hearing, I mean, what are your thoughts on those comparisons?
Yeah, well, I've lived through both now, but they've both been very difficult. Of course, there are some differences in interest rates. Even though they are high now, they're not as high as they were back then. And land prices have maintained, been able to hold their value during this time when it didn't in the 80s. But there are other elements in this downtime that we didn't have back then. It seems like we have a lot more events around the world that's causing disruption in the supply chain of things that we have to buy to put into our products to be able to grow them, and makes it more expensive. So there are some differences, but they've both been very difficult times.
And in your address to members during the first session of convention, you mentioned, you know, there's some farm aid passed, released in December, but, you know, there's more aid still needed. You had hosted the four corners of the House and Senate Agriculture Committees. I'm curious, you know, what reaction you got from them, the confidence you had from their comments about providing more aid.
Well, we're very fortunate to have the four corners that we have. They all are very interested in helping us get through this very difficult time. And I think they're ready to make do the hard work to get some additional aid for our farmers. And not that they really just totally committed on it, but they are in their talking. It sounds like they're moving in that direction and trying to find ways to tear down the barriers that keeps them from doing that and to find a vehicle to attach it to.
Yeah, and ag labor was one of the other big topics, both with the four corners and in your address this week, I think you mentioned is the number one issue for the sector. So, you know, I'm curious if you were optimistic hearing their remarks on the panel with them all in Anaheim to your members, you know, about progress being made in that space.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to be optimistic on an issue that we've been trying to fix for 30 years. But right now I am optimistic because we seem to have more discussion, more positive discussion that people want to fix this issue. We have a president that wants to fix this situation. And I think if we can just get everybody at the table and talk about the problem and try to move away from the politics of it, I think we can fix it. I think we're closer to it than we've ever been. That's not saying that we're real close, but there's a lot of work to be done. We're really encouraged by some of the actions that the Department of Labor has done with the wage rate, and we're going to continue to work with them to try to move it closer to what our people need.
We'll be back with more Newsmakers right after this.
As a cooperative, our customers are our owners. They share our profits and help guide our business. We're not just another lender. We're Farm Credit, and we're here for you.
I think some of sustainability to farmers just comes second nature. If you asked a farmer, are you sustainable, they'd probably look at you maybe a little funny and say, I don't think I'm doing anything that special, but it really is just what they do. We're all farmers, and our goal is taking the best care of our land, our cattle, our natural resources. This
is my sustainability story.
Welcome back. Senators John Bozeman and Amy Klobuchar serve as chairman and ranking member on the Senate Agriculture Committee. We spoke with the pair at the American Farm Bureau Federation Convention about their vision for the committee in 2026.
Well, we're in a really serious problem right now. If you're planting something, you're probably losing money because of lack of demand for the product. We don't have the markets that we need. We need to increase our markets overseas, but we also need domestic markets too, value adding our products. So what we'd like to do is get some experts over that are, you know, can give us some ideas and see if we can make it such that we're not dependent on these government interventions. Right now, Congress has worked together in a very bipartisan way to provide those, but it's not something we can count on forever.
And Senator Klobuchar, your vision for the committee?
Yeah, well, I think what a lot of our farmers want is trade, not aid. That doesn't mean we don't need to have that safety net, and it's not really important right now. Of course it is, and I'll advocate for that. But I would still like to get some order here when it comes to the markets, because some of these markets like soybeans and others are just drying up and then it's hard to get them back. So that is one of my goals, and to work with the administration in any way to improve this situation. There's a court case coming up, and I was at the Supreme Court for that argument. I'm still hanging in there thinking the tariffs are going to be overturned, but we'll see. And if that happens, then there'll be more negotiation. So I think that that is really important to this story, that somehow we get more stability. And then the second is looking at a farm bill. It won't be like farm bills of old, but the possibility of the need for aid, doing something when it comes to SNAP, doing something on farm loans, the amounts. There's a bunch of policy things we could do, E15 year-round, and other changes with CRP and the like that I would love to work on, and I know a lot of farmers and ranchers would.
Some of those provisions included in budget reconciliation, but a lot still to do and a lot to renew. Senator Bozeman first, if you'd like to lay out what you'd like to see in a new farm bill.
There's a lot of things. The good news is the things that we're talking about really aren't very expensive. We're able to do a lot of the really expensive things with the risk management tools in the big bill. So we're talking about risk, not we're talking about farm credit, getting that up to date. Increasing the loan limits, which are totally out of date now. Things cost twice as much as they did just, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. So just getting things back up to date. And there's a number of small things that we need to do that are policy issues. They're not very expensive, but they really are important to the farm community, would make a big difference, mm-hmm. and are very bipartisan.
Yeah, and one of the things, and I did support, I wasn't supportive of the whole bill. I did support a number of the farm policies, including some that were my bills that were in there. But the farm bill would give us an opportunity to do things that under the crazy Senate rules, they weren't allowed to do in that bill. And John mentioned that loan limit bill. That's a bill with Senator Hoeven and I have, and working on some of these other policy things like year-round E15 and some other reforms that we could make that really, that's why we do the farm bill every 5 years, so that you can change with the times and really meet people where they are. Dairy, there's some things we can do there. And I'm just hoping that, I mean, the president, one of his gems was the USMCA. It wasn't perfect, of course. I supported it. But dairy, there's some things we could make as we look at changes, as we look at the review with Canada and Mexico. And making sure, and the last thing, just farm labor and this idea that we could actually get some better immigration provisions, because there's such a need right now with especially crops, but really in the whole farm economy. And with the work that's been done at the border, you know, my hope is that we could just say, okay, let's work on this farm labor as well as some of these other needs like health care when it comes to immigration. Because in rural America right now, immigrants aren't really diminishing America. They actually are a big part of the rural economy.
We've always said that we would deal with the issues of the work visa programs and things once we secured the border. The border's secure right now. So I think there's a lot of sentiment on both sides of the aisle to try and get this sorted out and make it where it's, you know, instead of people just flooding across the border, where we have an orderly process, getting the workers that we need, and we desperately need workers. As Zippy said, you know, one of the first things that Amy and I hear about and he hears about, it doesn't matter what the conversation is with farmers, workforce always comes up, you know, as one of their most critical needs.
And if you look at it just from an economic perspective and you talk about it that way, I think I know it seems unbelievable with what's going on in the country right now on the issue of immigration, but there is really some things we could do across the aisle to improve things.
Senator Klobuchar, earlier in our conversation, you mentioned year-round E15. I'm curious, what vehicle can we see that coming through?
Any vehicle. Just so it's in a vehicle. No, it's it could be. Sure. It could be. That was a really bad pun, you know. Okay, but any vehicle could be part
I just,
of a
I got
farm.
It.
There you are. It could be part of a farm bill. It could be part of a some kind of a year-end budget thing. And there's been a lot of support. Some work's been done, as you know. Oil's never been a fan of it, but there's been some compromises made, work on that front as time goes on. And, you know, the biofuels are no longer some kind of just special little fuel out there. It's like at least 10% of our fuel supply. And you look at the possibilities of sustainable aviation, and there were some provisions in the bill, the Republican bill this summer, that are going to be helpful on that front. I would have liked the House version, but we won't go there. I just think that there's really exciting things we could be doing with biofuels right now. And it's not just a boutique fuel anymore.
And the bigger picture of that as we wrap up here, but why can't we have more of a comprehensive fuel policy that includes E15, SAF, and biofuel provisions, especially now as we're seeing market loss from the trade war?
It is really would be a great new market that wouldn't, it's not like as important as the aid is right now. That's something we could do to actually open up more markets. I'm very obsessed with foreign markets and us being able to sell around the world. That's important, but this is something we could do right at home.
E15 is important. It's kind of, you know, we're in a situation where really, I guess EPW has jurisdiction.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Thanks for bringing that up. But, you know, another committee. But we could still make it part of a compromise in the end on the floor.
I thought we had it done a year ago.
Yeah, we did.
It was fell apart right at the end.
Well, okay, that was when Elon Musk didn't like that year-end deal. But it was actually in the deal that the Senate and the House had agreed on.
Yeah.
So it shows that there is support for it.
Right. So, as you say, it's just finding a vehicle. Right now, we're in a little different situation because of the very, very low prices in oil right now. So that's made the oil industry a little bit nervous. So, but, you know, it's just dealing with...
I learned something in our interview.
Dealing
I knew about the prices, but that would be a factor.
Just dealing with all of these different things. But the good news is I think we've made tremendous headway in the last few years.
So I mean,
hopefully we can get it done.
The argument to the oil companies is you just want to have choices. And some of them actually are invested in biofuels and the like. You want to have these choices.
We'll be back with more newsmakers from Anaheim, California, right after this.
Trial lawyers are using a discredited report from a World Health Organization subagency to attack a safe, American-made weed-fighting tool. This critical tool helps keep your food costs down, and without it, food inflation could double. Stand with American farmers and keep trial lawyers' greed out of our farms and food supply. Fight back. Call your local representative.
Join us as we celebrate three decades of Commodity Classic, agriculture's largest farmer-led event, February 25th through 27th. Experience game-changing solutions, connect with thousands of forward-thinking farmers, and explore innovations from over 400 companies, all focused on powering your farm forward with efficiency and profitability. Housing and registration opens November 6th. Don't miss 30 years of agricultural excellence in the heart of Texas.
Welcome back. Congressman G.T. Thompson serves as chairman of the House Agriculture Committee. We asked him about his vision for the committee in 2026.
Lydia, always a pleasure to be with you and to be able to share and to talk about America's number one industry, agriculture. I really appreciate, actually, the letter and the list that Angie, the ranking member, sent over. I mean, they want to be engaged. They're at the table. And to me, that's great, because this is the way I've always approached and managed the process. And so that leads us into 2026, and that is Farm Bill 2.0. At this point, January will be used to with a heavy heart to fill the vacancy left by Congressman LaMalfa's passing, giving Dr. Jim Baird time to heal from a motor vehicle accident and get back and CBO to give us our final scores that we need. And so I'm looking forward to the end of February. We're going to do a markup. We're going to mark up the Farm Food and National Security Act of 2026. And I've already talked with the speaker and the majority leader about a pathway to the floor. And so so that and quite frankly, after a little bit of a discussion draft time, we're going to get that ag worker legislation introduced as well, which I think has a promising future.
Yeah, on the topic of Farm Bill, I spoke with Whip Emmer last week, and he was on with your timeline as well. So certainly momentum moving for that. And spoke with Senator Klobuchar and Senator Bozeman as well. But can you kind of give us a rundown of, you know, what you'd like to see in that Farm Bill 2.0? I mean, a lot of those important provisions in budget reconciliation, but a lot of things still to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it really was interesting. About 80% of the new investment happened in Farm Bill 1.0, but it was only 20% of the Farm Bill. So we still have 80% of the Farm Bill to do, but not a lot of heavy investment. And good bipartisan policy. And so, you know, credit title, some changes, some we did great work on conservation, but, you know, we need to, you know, things like CRP, which was the original conservation program, has never been modernized, never been updated. We're going to do that with that. You know, making sure that in terms of the credit title, our rural hospitals are struggling with some debt, to give them a pathway to refinance that debt, to make it so that you know, those who are looking to go into farming can work to get pre-approval for their credit. So when they go out and find the acreage that they in the farm that they want to buy, they can make the offer right there. They don't have to come back and get reauthorization. There's a lot there. We got to deal with Prop 12, which is really important that we provide that in. Pesticide labeling is another issue that needs to be dealt with. If we don't do that, we're going to see the cost of food skyrocket. And I think we're going to put some farmers' health in a precarious situation, because if you got 50 different sets of standards on how to use these chemicals, how to apply them, how to clean up after them, somebody's going to get hurt. And having one set of labeling standards, you know, through the EPA with those scientists I believe is the best way to go.
Yeah. You mentioned struggling farm economy right now as well. That $12 billion aid package was announced in December, but, you know, right off of that being announced, you know, lawmakers were then and still now are talking about more funding needed for farm credits. That's been the message here at the convention. You know, so I'm curious, you know, what would you like to see in that second package of aid, and what funding mechanism could that come from?
Yeah, we're walking through analysis now to see what, you know, the aid, the $11 billion of the 12, plus the tail end of the $10 billion that we did a little over a year ago, looking to see what the positive impact of that is, of offsetting it. Some really tough economic times. And we're looking at commodity by commodity, because they're all different, right? Originally I came out and said, we're going to leave it. My estimate to begin with, we're going to need an additional $10 billion. Well, I'm not sure what that number is today. I can tell you, no matter what happens with the commodities, $1 billion is not enough for the specialty crops, and including sugar. And for me, what I've already discussed with the administration, timber. Now, the timber owners, the landowners, those trees only get bigger, they get more value. But it's the production, it's the processing side. With some of the challenges that we've had, especially on trade, if we lose sawmills, we won't have a forestry industry. We won't have we're going to have unhealthy forests. We're going to have more wildfires. It's going to devastate the economy for rural communities. And so looking, and I don't know what the solution is, but at least I know USDA is now talking about what can we do in terms of the production side. Or the processing side. And the Farm Bill 2.0 will have some, within the credit title, we're looking at processing as well.
We'll be back with more from the American Farm Bureau Federation Annual Convention right after the break.
I think some of sustainability to farmers just comes second nature. If you asked a farmer, are you sustainable, they'd probably look at you maybe a little funny and say, I don't think I'm doing anything that special, but it really is just what they do. We're all farmers, and our goal is taking the best care of our land, our cattle, our natural resources.
This
is my sustainability story.
America never stops. Thanks to the financial support of Farm Credit, neither do the farmers and ranchers who call her home. Since the beginning, we've been helping rural America show the world what hard work can achieve. But the job is far from over. And as rural America grows further, we'll be there.
Welcome back. House Ag Committee Ranking Member Angie Craig sent Chairman Thompson a list of requests for the committee this year. We asked about her priorities for the Agriculture Committee in 2026.
Clearly, we need to focus on what is Farm Bill 2.0 going to look like. So some areas were left undone. I think we need an additional farm and family relief package. That's what I'm hearing from family farmers here. I also think that the committee ought to take its role on oversight more seriously. Tariffs are causing some significant input cost hikes in our country. And I do think that, you know, it is our responsibility to take an objective look at what are the policies of the Trump administration and what impact are they having on our country. We think that looking at the impact of the cost shift to states on the nutrition program from the One Big Beautiful Bill is something we should be looking at as well. And at the end of the day, there's a whole lot of work left to do.
And you mentioned in that letter that the committee as a whole was avoiding asking tough questions. You know, I'm curious what you were referring to with that, the tariffs or other issues as well?
Well, I think you could talk about tariffs. I think you could talk about, you know, we had a polite conversation about immigration policy on the stage today as it relates to reforms that are needed for the ag economy. But, you know, I felt compelled to ask the question, are we really behaving as if we're a country that is open to immigrants at the moment? You know, it's really been fascinating to watch Homeland Security and ICE target looking in our communities for undocumented individuals. 45% of the ag workforce are undocumented individuals. And, you know, farmers and ranchers, I think, have to be clear about the real impact to our ag economy if the Trump administration continues to target law-abiding folks in this country.
And here at the American Farm Bureau Federation Convention, Farm Bill has been top of mind. Some of those provisions included in budget reconciliation, but other things that still need renewed. You know, nutrition, when we look at budget reconciliation, was also a big concern. I'm curious if, you know, you'll bring some of those nutrition cuts when you do look to Farm Bill negotiation early this year, if, you know, look to restore those or how that could affect negotiations.
Well, look, we obviously are very concerned with $186 billion in cuts to the nutrition program. A lot of those cuts were shifting costs to the states. The costs are not, they're not able to absorb those costs in such a quick fashion. And so I do think there's going to be a lot of conversation in a lot of different areas about, you know, how do we make sure if the One Big Beautiful Bill shifted those costs to the states, that the states are equipped to take that on.
And as we're up here, obviously market loss from the trade war, but domestic demand is one opportunity. You've pushed for year-round E15. I'm curious what vehicle you'd be looking at for that to pass. And, you know, why can't we have a more comprehensive renewable fuel strategy that includes E15, SAF credits, and all of those things, important biofuel policy provisions?
Well, count me in for every single one of those things. So E15 year-round, higher blends of ethanol, sustainable aviation fuel, all of it. These are huge domestic markets. And if you're going to kill our export markets, you should aggressively pivot to looking to help us expand those domestic markets. That is the least, I think, that the administration can do.
We'll be back with more from Anaheim right after this.
Trial lawyers are using a discredited report from a World Health Organization subagency to attack a safe, American-made weed-fighting tool. This critical tool helps keep your food costs down. And without it, food inflation could double. Stand with American farmers and keep trial lawyers' greed out of our farms and food supply. Fight back. Call your local representative.
Join us as we celebrate three decades of Commodity Classic, agriculture's largest farmer-led event, February 25th through 27th. Experience game-changing solutions. Connect with thousands of forward-thinking farmers and explore innovations from over 400 companies, all focused on powering your farm forward with efficiency and profitability. Housing and Registration opens November 6th. Don't miss 30 years of agricultural excellence in the heart of Texas.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us for another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Next week, the House will be in session. The Senate will return to Washington the week of January 26th. For AgriPulse, I'm Lydia Johnson. Thanks for watching.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more. For agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, your source is AgriPulse.com.